Amen. 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 Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me if you have one. If not, we got the cheat sheet for you on the screen. Can I get an amen from somebody? 1 Samuel chapter 16. I love feedback. I love when we can have a conversation through the sermon tonight. So if you feel blessed by the word and want to drop an amen or a praise God or a hello, feel free to go ahead and do it. 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're gonna look at this passage of scripture that's really been on my heart lately. The text says, "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'You have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king.' But Samuel asked, 'How can I do that? If Saul hears about it, he'll kill me.' 'Take a heifer with you,' the Lord replied, 'and say that you have come to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you which of his sons to anoint for me.' So Samuel did as the Lord instructed. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town came trembling to meet him. 'What's wrong?' they asked. 'Do you come in peace?' 'Yes,' Samuel replied. 'I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice.' Then Samuel performed the purification rite for Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice too. When they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eli and thought, 'Surely this is the Lord's anointed.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I've rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" Can I get an amen? Then Jesse told his son Abinadab, all right, not funny, to step forward and walk in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "This is not the one the Lord has chosen." Next, Jesse summoned Shemaiah, but Samuel said, "Neither is this the one that the Lord has chosen." In the same way, all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Then Samuel asked, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse replied. "But he's out in the field watching the sheep and goats." "Send for him at once," Samuel said. "We will not sit down to eat until he arrives." So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. Ladies are like, "Hey." And then the Lord said, "This is the one. Anoint him." So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on, and then Samuel returned to Ramah. Father, I just want to pray one more time right now that God, you would speak to us through your word. And God, that just as Dr. J prayed, just as Pastor Jared shared, that this message wouldn't just fall on flat ears and hearts, but God, maybe this message would move us to take a step. And God, maybe you would move the fog tonight in front of us and use your word to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path so that we can take our next step. Show us what that looks like, Holy Spirit. Teach us your word. Draw us close. Help us to get better tonight. God, we don't want to get bitter. We want to get better. We want to come to know you more through this text. So God, give us ears to hear. Come on, pray that with me right now, Crawford. Give us ears to hear. Give us a heart that receives. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Also want to honor my brother Eric, who's here with me, also from Walk Church in Las Vegas, a rising leader on our youth ministry. And I'm glad that you're here with us, man. These are some of the best people in the world, bro. Big time. We're looking at this scripture here. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, and I just want to really quick focus in on this first verse. If I could even double-click and highlight a part of it, there's a specific word that God showed me that spoke to me, and almost in a prophetic-type way, I just felt impressed to give it to you tonight. And maybe it would speak to somebody. In verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'You have mourned long enough for Saul. You have mourned long enough for Saul, for I have rejected him as king of Israel, so I'm calling you to action.'" Here's what the Lord spoke to the prophet Samuel. He spoke to him and said, in order for me to move you into your destiny, in order for me to move you into your next step, in order for you to get your next assignment, you got to move forward. And I just felt a prophetic leaning as I was going into this message tonight from the Lord. I just want you to hear me on this. This might not be for everybody, and I really do want to be sensitive with what I'm about to say. But in a prophetic way, I want to just go ahead and deliver this to you, that maybe God would speak this to you tonight, that maybe he would say, you have mourned long enough. That maybe you're here tonight, and you've been in a season of mourning, or some translations say grieving, and you have been grieving about a specific situation, or a specific loss, or a specific relationship that broke up, or a specific thing that didn't happen that you thought was going to happen, or it was a dream that never came to life, and you've been in this place of mourning. It's hindered your worship. It's hindered your joy. You haven't been able to move past it. It's something that you're stuck in, and God wants to deliver a message to you tonight and say this, you've mourned long enough. I want to move you into your future, and it's going to be better. I want to take you into a new season of life. And maybe God would whisper to you tonight, hey, listen, I know I heard those prayers. I saw those tears. But I want to tell you, you've mourned long enough. Just something that I just caught from the Lord. I originally rushed past this verse to get to the calling stuff. And God said, whoa, there's something right here in verse number one for somebody here tonight. And here's what I want to do. I just want to even be bold on this Sunday evening. That maybe tonight if you're here and you just really sense that, I want to take a moment right now and pray for you. And I want to pray for you and pray that you would walk into this new season fresh. Walk into this new season ready to live out what brother said, to live out action. Right, in order for Samuel to fill and move and find and live and select and do the things that God had called him to do, he had to get past his mourning over Saul because that was in his past. And so right now, if this is a word for you and you just feel like God's saying, yeah, that's for you, I just want to ask you to stand up right now. You feel like God's speaking that to you right now? Not alone? Anybody else? Anybody else? I even sense God just speaking to me some things right now that I just need to let go of, that I've been mourning about, been grieving about. And God says, that's a good thing, but you've grieved long enough. Hear this tonight from the Lord. You're ready to move forward. You're ready to take a step into this new season. It's 2020. God's saying, look, I know you've been mourning, but you've mourned long enough. We're going to move forward right now. If you're around somebody who's standing, would you just go ahead and lay a hand on their shoulder? And let's pray for each person standing here. Father, I believe this is a word from you tonight. It's a word from your word. God, would you go up to each person standing right now and just say, you've mourned long enough. Grab each person by the hand and say, let's walk together. We're not going backwards. We're going into a fresh start. Because of Christ, because of the gospel, because of the Holy Spirit in this house, we're moving forward. We trust you, Lord. God, I pray for blessing and provision and power to flow in and through each person standing. God, I pray that you would wipe away tears and that you would give a confidence and an encouragement. God, not that they forget about what you've taken them through, but God, they're ready to step forward. They're ready to breathe again. They're ready to dream again. C.S. Lewis said, it's never too late to dream another dream. God, I pray that you would give these people standing new dreams, new vision, new desires, new passions, new contentment, new confirmations, God. And God, fresh power to do these things that you've called us to do. By your grace, by your love, even now, God, we say thank you. And we're ready. Come on, everybody, say we're ready. We're ready to walk with you into this new season. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. 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 You can be seated. Thank you so much for trusting the Lord even in this moment that God would release this word to you tonight. He says, you've mourned long enough since I have rejected him from being king over Israel. And then he highlights these three words. I want to just go ahead and bold them for a second. He said, so fill your flask. If you're letting stuff go tonight and you're releasing stuff, God needs to fill you with something new. He says, so fill your flask with olive oil. God wants to anoint something. And then go. I love what you said. You got to take a step. You got to go do it. Right? Moses' mom and adopted mom and nursing mom, and they had to go do something. Moses had to walk up into Pharaoh. And then go find somebody. Maybe tonight your next step is you got to go find somebody and tell them what God did for you. I love the demon-possessed man in Mark chapter 5, one of my calling verses. And when he got delivered, he said, Jesus, I want to jump on the boat and follow you. And Jesus said, no, go find somebody and tell them what I did. If God did some healing or some saving or some forgiving in your life tonight, what if you told somebody? Or what if you need some accountability and you say, hey, go find somebody. Go confess to somebody. Go ask somebody to walk with you together. It says, find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king. One thing I love about this story that I just want to minister to the parents in the room for a second is that this is actually the first time in the entirety of the Bible that we hear of this guy named Jesse. Did you know that we know nothing special about Jesse? In fact, Jesse could have lived an average life. This scripture is not even about Jesse. It's about his son. Here's the beautiful thing about this text that you can learn from Jesse. You may be in here tonight and say, you know what? I blew most of my life. You know, like I didn't really maximize my years like I should have or like I really wanted to or like I would have if I could go back. But here God says, that's okay, Jesse, because I'm going to do it through your son. And tonight maybe you would say, okay, God, look, hey, do the miracles that you were going to do through my kids. Well, some of the prayers that I've been praying is, God, even if I don't see all the things you're going to do in and through Walk Church, well, maybe my kids might see it. I might be gone, but the dreams and the prayers that we're praying, what if they get to walk into them? What a word for Jesse. He's just doing his own thing in Bethlehem. It's not really a big deal. And all of a sudden, God says to Samuel, find a guy named Jesse. It's going to be one of his sons that'll be my next king. And Samuel's like, what? And he does. He goes and finds him. But before he does that, in verse 2, he asks this question, how can I do that? Because if Saul hears about it, he'll kill me. And I think this is a word for somebody here tonight, because so often we do this thing too. We start to rationalize and justify and argue with God because we're scared of people. Or because we fear other people's opinions. Look, God just gave Samuel a duty, a word, and Samuel says, how can I do that? If Saul hears about it, he'll kill me. God never even mentioned Saul. In fact, the only thing that God said was that he's been rejected. And so I just want to encourage you tonight that maybe tonight, in order for you to move into your new season, you got to stop worrying about what other people are thinking. Right? I love what Galatians chapter 1, verse 10 says. The Apostle Paul writes to the Galatian church. And let's go ahead and put this verse on the screen. Let's read it together. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4. Am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Paul says, look, I put my people-pleasing card away a long time ago. In order for you to be the man or woman that God's called you to be, you can't be focused on pleasing everybody else. Amen? You can't do both. You can't serve two masters. And here the Apostle Paul is saying, look, you can't worry about what Saul's thinking, Samuel. You just got to be obedient. John Piper talks about this subject. He says, why did Saul obey the people instead of God? Because he feared the people instead of God. He feared the human consequences of obedience more than he feared the divine consequences of sin. He feared the displeasure of the people more than the displeasure of God. And that's a great insult of God. I really think we insult God when we argue with God about other people's opinions. Or that God would even say to you, hey, I'm calling you to do this. And we say, oh, well, what's this person going to think? Maybe you just made that other person God. We need to get that ordering right, because if God said to do it, you can trust him that it's going to be good. Amen? That we can trust him. That there's a new boldness that I pray that the church would hold on to. A Proverbs 28 boldness. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee when no one pursues. Right? When you stop entertaining the world, they'll just start leaving. You get this boldness about you. The righteous are as bold as a lion. I've done some brief study about lions. They're nothing to play with. Things are bold. Would encourage you to pray for lion-like faith. So the Lord replied, well, say that you have come to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice. I'll show you which of his sons to anoint for me. So I love what this verse says. So Samuel did it. So Samuel did as the Lord instructed. What a word. Can you put your name in that verse tonight? Can you say, and Hayden did as the Lord instructed you? And Jay did as the Lord instructed. And Summer did as the Lord instructed. And Amanda did as the Lord instructed. And Crawford Baptist Church as a whole. Come on. Say, so we're going to just do as the Lord instructed. What a way to live. Not an easy way to live, but a powerful way to live. When he arrived to Bethlehem, the elders of the town came trembling to meet him, because the last time Samuel showed up, he had a man killed. All right? So there's reason to be a little bit worried. And they said, what's wrong? They asked. Do you come in peace? He said, yes. Samuel replied, I've come to make a sacrifice to the Lord. So purify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. So then Samuel performed the purification rite for Jesse and his sons, and invited them to the sacrifice too. When they arrived, I like this verse right here. It says Samuel took one look. Everybody say one look. Samuel took one look at Eliab. And he thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. It's so funny that the prophet Samuel, he was judging by outward appearance, right? Eliab was the oldest son, the tallest son, maybe the smartest son, the most handsome son of Jesse, they put him first. Eliab will be the one. And even Samuel's like, man, surely this is the one. And immediately, I love the Lord's response. The Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height. I've rejected him. He's not the one. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I don't know why, but when I was studying for this text, and maybe my youngsters in the room might understand this, but I just caught a visual of Eliab. I'm going to put this picture on the screen. This is what I thought he looked like. Hey, anybody know who that is? Come on, Gaston. Like, y'all know him. You're like, yeah, that's Gaston. that's Gaston from Sarah Land, you know. right? No, but like, that. You see this guy pop up, and he's like, man, surely this is the Lord's anointed right here. Even Belle knew that Gaston wasn't the Lord's anointed, right? Right? And God's like, this isn't him. And I can even see Jesse like, well, he's my best. He's my oldest. He's my tallest. He's my biggest. But the Lord says, don't judge by the outward appearance. His heart's not right. Right? Even Gaston, right? His motivation was wrong for the whole thing. Maybe there was about to be a miss here, but God is speaking and he's saying, hey, don't miss this. The Lord doesn't see things the way that we see them. The Lord looks at the heart. This is a verse that made me ask this question. Let me go ahead and submit it to you, church. This made me ask this question. What type of heart is the Lord looking for? If it's true that the Lord doesn't see the outward appearance like we do, though the outward appearance is important, I'm not shading that, but I'm saying it's more important what's in the heart, because the God that we're serving has X-ray vision, right? He says, hey, you don't have to just not commit adultery. If you did it in your heart, you did it. if you hate the person and would kill him if you could get away with it, you've already killed him. Jesus says, I'm leveling up the law. I'm looking at your heart. That's not just a New Testament text. That's a 1 Samuel text. So that makes me ask this question. What type of heart is God looking for? I mean, the heart is a big deal, amen? The heart in the Bible is such a crucial component of the human life. Proverbs 27 verse 19 says, as face is reflected in water, so the heart reflects the real person. Have you ever looked at water and you're like, hey, that's how I look. Okay. God says, well, when I look at your heart, that's what I see. That's the real you. Proverbs 3 verse 1 and 2 is a verse, some verses I've been memorizing. They've been challenging me. It says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. I just saw that in a fresh way. I said, okay, I know I'm keeping God's commandments, but is my heart keeping God's commandments? How does your heart keep God's commandments? By soaking in them, by downloading them into your heart. He says, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Friends, if you get your heart right, you're going to get your life right. If you get your heart right, you're going to get your future right. I mean, this is a principle that I would want to apply. Length of days, years of life, peace. Oh, give me three for three, Dr. J. I got to get my heart right. How about Proverbs 24, verse 23? Above all else. Come on, say that. Say, above all else. Tell the person next to you, say, this is the number one. This is above all else. This is it right here. Above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. I mean, you got to be like a defensive stopper. You know, almost like somehow now I'm a hockey fan because our city finally got a hockey team. Shout out to the Golden Knights. But man, I went to a game recently and I was watching the goalie. Our goalie, his name is Fleury. And man, he was guarding the net like his life depended on it. We should guard our hearts like our life depends on it. Because above all else, everything you do flows from it. Jesus even tells us out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know what I realize? If you ever met somebody that's a me monster, they just talk all about themselves. Because their heart is full of themselves. Have you ever met somebody that's just super negative all the time? Just everything, they just have to turn it back to negative somehow. Their hearts are real negative. Have you ever met somebody that just really loves Jesus? Just want to talk about Jesus? You know why? Their heart is full of Jesus. I ask you the question tonight, what's in your heart? Because God tells Samuel and Jesse, hey, this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a specific type of heart. I was reading in an NLT study Bible recently, and it says, the choice of Saul had been based on distinctive physical attributes. He was the most handsome and head and shoulders taller than anyone else. In 1 Samuel 9, now Samuel is instructed to ignore those criteria. So here's my final question before we close tonight. What's the criteria of the heart that God's looking for? What type of heart, Crawford, does God want to see from us? And maybe 2020, this could be your prayer. Here's what I believe, all right? I believe that God is looking for a fat heart. A fat heart. That God's desire for us is that our hearts would be fat. Some of y'all want to laugh right now. I could just see it, but you're like, hey, that would be inappropriate, right? God's looking for a fat heart. Now don't worry, this is an acronym, okay? And I want to talk about what a fat heart looks like. A friend of mine who's a missionary in Africa once said, hi, you need to have a fat heart? I was like, I don't even know what that means. And he shared this with me, and it really challenged me, and I want to share it with you tonight. The F stands for faithful. But have a faithful heart. The thing that's powerful about what happens next in this story in 1 Samuel is that Samuel said to Jesse, The Lord has not chosen any of these. He told his son Abinadab to step forward. Walk in front of Samuel. Samuel said, this is not the one that the Lord has chosen. Next, Jesse summoned Shimeah. But Samuel said, neither is this one that the Lord has chosen. Now think about this. Then he brought another son. This isn't the one either. Then another son. Now that's not him either. Then the fifth son. Nope, not him either. Then the sixth son. Still not the one. Then the seventh son. Still not the one. Finally, Samuel said, you got any more sons? None of these cut it. Here's what Jesse says. Jesse says, well, they're still the youngest. I'm challenged by the fact that Jesse didn't have enough dignity for his youngest son to even call him by his name. He called him by a title. He's the youngest. As if somehow the youngest would disqualify him to be the next king. I really don't think that God was looking for age. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. J, but I think Josiah was 8 when he became king. There's some hope for some of y'all in here, Daniel Paul, right? Man, oh man. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, 1 Timothy 4:12, right? It says, they're still the youngest, Jesse replied, but I didn't even invite him. I find it humorous that the next king of Israel, the second king of Israel, was not even invited to the anointing ceremony. He didn't even get an invite. He didn't even get a save the date. Like David was like, hey, y'all have fun, man. I'm going to be out here being faithful. Like, hey, dad, you sure I wasn't invited? Didn't he say like one of your sons? Like, can I at least cheer on Abinadab? Like, can I just at least be there when, I mean, this is the prophet Samuel. He knows you, dad. Can I like at least just be there to shake his hand? No. Those are still the youngest, but he's out in the fields watching the sheep and goats. I like the response of Samuel. Send for him at once. We will not sit down to eat until he arrives. Now, you know people hurry when they're hungry, right? Samuel was like, look, bro, I got an appointment to eat some food. Go get him already, all right? We're not sitting down until he gets there. Pew! Right? They went and found him. David, hey, we want to bring you to this ceremony. Maybe you're the one. What was it about David? Well, I think that he demonstrated faithfulness. David is doing a very ordinary task. He's out in the shepherd field shepherding sheep. This is king-type nature. This looks a lot like Jesus. How about David is a young shepherd boy in Bethlehem right now, modeling what the true Savior would one day do, modeling what he would do for us today. He says, that's the type of guy I'm looking for. He has a spirit of faithfulness. Here's one thing I found to be true. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says it like this. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? Here's what that means. Check this out. It means that there's a whole lot of people, especially in the church, that say, man, I love God. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. But a faithful person, we can't find those people. There's a whole lot of people that can say they love. That's not really that rare. But somebody who demonstrates faithfulness? Solomon's saying, I can't find those people. God's looking for a faithful heart. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. I think he's looking for a faithful heart. God is searching the earth, even shepherd fields, to see if there's anybody got a faithful heart. And check this out. 2 Timothy 2 verse 13 tells us this good news. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny who he is. And we believe in a Savior named Jesus Christ who's faithful. Amen. He's faithful to be born of a virgin. He's faithful to grow up and live the life that you and I could never live on our own. The perfect sinless life that met God's requirement and standard of living. He's faithful to love people and heal people and speak in parables and do the prophetic anointing calling that he was called to do. He's faithful to go up on the tree and bear the sin of the world and die a sinner's death on the cross. He's faithful to finish the task. Not only that, he's faithful to actually physically die in that moment as a man and faithful to be buried in a real tomb in Israel. He's faithful to rise up from the tomb, fold his clothes even, and blast out of that tomb. Amen. He is faithful to do those things. He's faithful to hang out for another 40 days. And he's faithful to preach about the kingdom of God. And he's faithful to show up at Crawford Baptist Church tonight and heal some people in their mourning, and touch some people even tonight, even that may be in sin. He's faithful to do it. God's looking for a faithful heart. The A stands for available. I think God's looking for people that are faithful and people that are available. I want to encourage you tonight to be available. To say my 2020 year is a year to be available. It's important to be available. I would give you this reality statement, that God's not looking for your ability. Can I just go ahead and give you a secret? He's got all the ability enough. I mean, I remember reading a scripture that God says, now to him who is able to do far more exceedingly beyond all that you can even ask or think. God has enough ability. He's not looking for our ability. Our ability is pretty petty. He's looking for availability. God is searching and saying, who can I use in here? I have the ability. I got all the tools. I got all the blessing. I got all the power. One scripture that's been comical for me as of late is when the devil tempted Jesus with the world. He's like, Jesus, if you surrender to me, I'm going to give you all this stuff. Like, Jesus is like, really, bro? You've got to do better than that. Like, this is all mine anyway, right? Like, anything, it all belongs to Christ. And so Jesus says here, look, I'm not looking for your ability. I'm looking for your availability. I love this definition for the word available. Present or ready for immediate use. What does it mean to be available? It means I'm present, I'm ready. Use me. God, I'm present right now, I'm ready right now. Use me right now. I'm ready to be available. I'm ready to serve. One thing that's been blowing my mind is there's people, check this out, this is real, and I might even be talking to some of you tonight. There's people that would call themselves servants of Christ and don't serve anywhere. How can you be a servant and not serve? Like, oh yeah, hey, I'm a servant of Christ, bro. That's it. I said, oh, that's cool. Where do you serve? I don't actually serve anywhere. What? Faithful and available. Present or ready for immediate use. Accessible. Attainable. Can people access you? Are you obtainable? Can somebody find you and talk to you and say, hey, can you help me? Can we walk together? You can't walk with everybody, but you can walk with somebody. I don't know anybody who modeled this better than Jesus Christ. I mean, God believed in the availability so much that he sent his own son. I mean, Jesus made himself available, so much so that he called 12 knuckleheads to walk with. I mean, Jesus was so passionate about disciple making, before he did a single act of ministry, his first act besides spending time with the Father was, hey, I want you to follow me. And I love the Andrew principle. Andrew said, okay, I want to follow you, but can I bring my brother too? And Jesus said, yes. And he went and found his brother. Do you know his brother's name? Peter. The great Peter of the Bible is only there because his brother loved him enough to bring him to. And then Jesus goes, let's go get some more. How about Bartholomew? I love saying that name. Or Thaddeus. These are the ones that don't get enough love. Right? How about the sons of thunder, James and John? Right, how about Matthew the tax collector? Can we add him to the? Jesus is making himself accessible. Jesus ministers to this sinful man named Matthew. Matthew takes a step of obedience and says, okay, I'm going to follow you. And Jesus goes, hey, let's have a party tonight at your house. Invite all your tax collector friends. I'm available. If Jesus was available, oh man, we got to figure this thing out. This is a convicting word for me. So I see in Jesus' life a faithfulness and an availability that is remarkable. Finally, this last point is teachable. What does it look like to have a fat heart? It means that I'm faithful, I'm available, and I'm teachable. I really think that David, at least at this point in his life, was faithful. He was available. He didn't even get invited. And there was an essence of humility, a teachability about him that God said, I can use this guy to be my king. It's really going to be hard for God to use you if you're not teachable. Because the Holy Spirit, one of his descriptors is teacher. The Holy Spirit teaches us all day long. The Holy Spirit should be like, hey, don't say that. Or actually say that. Or don't do that. Or don't go there. Or hey, don't watch that. Maybe you should get off that. Maybe you shouldn't smoke that. Maybe you shouldn't drink that. Right? The Holy Spirit teaches us all these things. When we read the Bible, before we read it, we should say, Holy Spirit, teach me something today. But if we don't have teachable hearts, nothing's going to get through. If we go through life with clenched fists, it's going to hurt when God has to pry those fingers open, right? Like, hey, let it go. God's looking for people that are like this. Have you ever met a know-it-all? You like hanging out with them? Have you ever met a learn-it-all? I love hanging out with learn-it-alls. People that are like hungry and ready and like, yo, I want to grow. I just want to go. I want to sit in the front row. I want to learn something today. I really find that God takes those people and says, let's do something big with you. People that have a faithfulness, a spirit of availability, and a spirit of teachability tend to go far. Coach John Wooden said, it's what you learn after you know it all that counts. The reality is we're still learning. I mean, I see this modeled in your pastor. Like, this is one of the greatest learners I know, which is why he's a great leader. And leaders are readers. Or maybe we would say, you can't lead if you can't read. Because God wants us to keep growing and learning. And that's one thing that we should try to model. This text finishes up in 1 Samuel 16, verse 12 and 13 with these words. So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, this is the one. Anoint him. Could you imagine young David was like, what is happening right now? So as David stood there among his brothers, I like the descriptors, among his brothers. Woo. How about God selects who man rejects? Like, he didn't even get invited. God was like, that's the one I'm going to select. Y'all didn't know it, but I knew it. You know why? Because I looked at his heart. So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil that he prepared. This would have never happened if Samuel couldn't get past his mourning. Samuel prepared the olive oil. He brought it, and he anointed David with the oil, and the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. And then Samuel returned to Reba. As we close, I just want to close with an intentional prayer right now. It's a prayer that I think is powerful for each one of us today. I just want to pray it intentionally over each person. How about we stand as we close in prayer, and I just want to pray for you here this evening. It's a prayer out of Ephesians chapter 3. Maybe we can put it on the screen so we can all see it. Ephesians chapter 3. If you receive this word tonight and this prayer tonight, just go like this. Just in a posture to receive. I'm praying this prayer over my heart tonight. Father, right now, I want to pray alongside the words of the Apostle Paul for everybody in the room this evening. Lord, I pray that out of your glorious riches, that you may strengthen us with power through your Spirit in our inner being so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Jesus, make us faithful.
Jesus, make us available. Jesus, make us teachable. And God, I pray that if there's somebody in here tonight that just needs to repent of sin, turn from their sin and turn to someone, that someone is named Jesus. God, if someone needs to get saved tonight, I pray they would get saved. If someone needs to get set free tonight, that they would surrender and get set free. God, give us fat hearts and use us like never before in this day and age. For your glory and our joy, in Jesus Christ's name we pray together. Amen. Amen. Amen.